instead of putting a thank you note back on the board, I want to personally thank this body for all your support, your prayers, and your love, and oh my God, all the food. I mean, you guys fed us all week, me and my family. And you know, my family came up to me. There was a lot of unbelievers there yesterday. And they came up to me and they said, your church is everything you said it was. We didn't believe it till we seen it with our own eyes. The love that you said they had and how they back up their people, we didn't believe it, but we do now. It was God on display. It was God showing himself so my family could see something different, that this church is so different than any other church. And I am proud to be part of this body. And I don't know what I can say, my heartfelt thank you for everything. I mean, when this eagle was down, the other eagles came and saved me. They lifted me, they helped me, they fed me. Oh my, what more could I ask for? I don't really like thank you notes, so I thought I'd do it in person. And my mother and my sister love Sister Clarice. Oh, they got a kick out of her. And I've had so many people tell me they enjoyed your eulogy, that they loved how you compared the council.
Yes.
And yes. So if it's all right with Brother Moore, one of the things I wanted to do was play Donna's favorite song. And this sister's from Africa. Her name's Sophia Shepherd. She goes to the Third Exodus Assembly in Africa, and they're Brother Branham followers. So if you could play that, I appreciate it.
We are grateful.
appreciate you, Brother Mike. Let's sing page 143. Oh, magnify the Lord. Key of D.
I know the Lord living.
Blessed be the rock.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord living. Blessed be the rock. And may the God of my salvation. Let's sing that again. I know the Lord living. I know the Lord living.
Blessed be the rock.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. I know the Lord living. Blessed be the rock. And may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen. Sister Sue.
God praise. And I'm so thankful for that rock. And Jeremiah enjoyed that message last Wednesday night and Pastor Moore last Sunday. Every time I come, you know, I'm blessed. Building on this rock, that's what we all can do. And we lose a loved one like Brother Mike has just done. That rock holds us and gives us the peace and rest. Now we're going to see our loved one again, you know. And I'm thankful for that revelation. I'm just thankful for this word and being able to build on this rock each and every time I can get here. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless Sister Sue. It's good to see. Brother Jeremiah was talking on Wednesday night when he was about to preach. He said, you know, these songs have meanings. And, you know, Brother Don Deskins, I appreciate you bringing that song of, you know, We'll Never Grow Old. And we were fortunate enough to be at the funeral, and they sang a song. They played the song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And if you don't know that story, it was, I always get choked up about it because it truly is just well with my soul, regardless of all the other stuff. Like, that's, you know, that was the premise. It was basically, you know, this guy's family was going overseas, and he said, I'll meet you there. And the wife with the four kids,
right,
and they passed away. And the wife was only able to send a wire that said, saved alone.
Right.
She made it.
She made it. And he was thinking, you know, I won't know on this side, but when I get there, I'll ask him why. You know, that faith to say, you know what, I don't even need to know why right now, Lord. Amen. And so then he gets on the boat, and he's traveling over, and he gets to this point where the kids have passed away. And that's when he wrote the song.
Amen.
So I want to sing that song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Yes, Lord. Yeah.
Because we let so many things just get in the way.
Come on.
You know, page 224, we just let so many things get in the way of rocking that boat. Like,
yeah.
It is well with my soul.
It is
even
well.
If you're just saved alone.
Amen.
You know, you think about, you know, you got your family. I got brothers. I got people that I wish they'd get this. I see their life a mess, and I just like, oh my God, you would be so much better off. Even if you just pretended to love God, you'd be so much better off. I've seen them I've seen my cousins here, and they just pretended to love, and their life was flourished. I've seen them just come around and be around the body. Just being around this water, you get blessed.
Amen.
And I was like, if you could just sit still long enough, you would be so blessed. But I'm saved alone.
Amen.
You know, like, I wish I could give it to you. I wish I could explain it to you. I wish I could make you want it. But as for me and my house.
Amen.
I'm going to serve God. He's given me the greatest gift, the revelation. You know, this rock of revelation, you can't even give it to somebody.
No.
You know, the greatest gift that we've got is eternal life. But I wish I could give this revelation. I wish I could break it down. There's nothing more important in my life. I wish I could take a quote and spend time with somebody, spend hours breaking it down, saying, this is why we had to have a prophet. This is why we had to. But it won't work. It won't work. I'm saved alone. Praise God. It is well with my soul. Page 224. When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea regarded my head. bless you, Brother John.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You know, we were listening to Ecclesiastes this morning, and, you know, Solomon was the wisest man.
Yeah.
You know, a wisdom that God gave him.
Yeah.
You know, God appeared to him and said, what do you want? And he said, I want wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because you didn't ask for a long life, because you didn't ask for money, I'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then Solomon, who has all the wisdom of the world, all the wisdom,
right.
He writes that everything is vanity.
Yeah.
This wisdom is vanity.
Yeah.
This wisdom of man is vanity.
Amen.
He drank out of gold.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful, he built a beautiful house.
Yes,
he did all, he had so much gold.
Amen.
And he said, it's all in vain.
That's yeah. Right.
He said, there's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing.
Amen.
You know, I'd be a man most miserable if all I had was this side.
Yeah.
You know, this revelation is the only thing that'll hold you.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about, you know, what is the revelation?
Yeah.
You know, because we all ponder on that.
Right.
What is the revelation? And it's nothing more than just a, this, where it's just so real to you.
Yeah.
You believe it so strong.
Yeah.
No one can talk you out of
it.
Nothing can make you question it. Death can't make you question it. Pain, sickness, old age, nothing.
Nothing.
But it's that simple. It's that simple. You can't fake it. But you do get a blessing being near it.
Yeah.
You get around me and you're going to get a blessing.
You're gonna get a, right.
You are going to get a blessing. Just get close to me.
Yeah.
You get a blessing. But I have the gift of eternal life.
Yeah.
I can't give it. I can't explain how I got it.
Uh-uh.
I didn't do anything to get it. Didn't do a thing.
Mm-mm.
Just a gift.
Amen.
You know, I was sitting there thinking about me and Brother Jim, Brother Lockett back there. We were talking about this rock. Revelation, such a perfect peace, perfect balance in every situation. And you're thinking, Lord, how can I ever not go with a smile and rejoice in this? You know, I don't have time for Satan to get me down at all. I mean, he might try here and there and shake it off so quick, like Brother Children said, like putting your pants on.
Right.
I fight the devil off left and right. It's nothing. I'm just used to doing it. You know, I have such a revelation. I was reading Hebrews this morning, Hebrews 11, you know, talking about how they overcame, how they fought,
yeah.
how they walked by faith.
Amen.
and subdued kingdoms and stopped the mouth of the lion and just on and on and on. And I think, Lord, and they didn't even have the promise.
Nothing.
They were still looking for one of the days of the Son of Man.
Amen.
You know, they longed for it and sought a city to come.
Amen.
But here we dwell in His very presence, you know. And His very presence dwells in us.
That's right.
And I think, Lord, who, what manner of man ought I to be?
Amen.
Seeing comes about so great a crowd of witnesses and so many people gone on before and they have stood. Not even having what I have. Well, I got more demons to fight, but I got a whole lot more ammunition, too.
Amen.
You know, I got everything.
Yes.
And it's just like the Lord to provide everything that you need.
Yes,
whatever you have need of, He provided.
Yes,
and,
he
you know, with that in mind, how can I not just go forth in faith and confidence and joy and a peace and look to the things of this world? No, no, no. Growing strangely dim.
Amen.
Every day of my life, just more and more and more seeing how that, you know, the world is crazy.
Yes.
They lost God and common sense.
Amen.
You know? Used to be they had a little common sense, but not now. They've thrown it all to the wind.
Yes, they have.
But I'm thankful for what I got. I'm thankful for
the
many blessings and to have this claiming message where I can
Amen.
Take my loved ones and friends.
Amen.
That was the last thing that I had to worry about.
Right.
I remember when that dropped off, me and Brother Moore, we kind of talked about it. We got it made now.
Yeah.
Got it made now. I don't have to worry about getting my friends, loved ones to church. I got them.
I got them.
Everybody I love. And I love a lot of people. You think, oh, you can't love that many people. Yes, I can. And they're all going with me. I could take everybody I've ever known in my whole life, and it wouldn't be dropping the bucket to that number on the other side, innumerable number. So I'm thankful. I'm rejoicing in this. I don't have a thing to worry about. Don't have a thing to fear. You know, I look at myself, and, you know, like I was saying, the time you're 20 or so, you're pretty well made up. You ain't changing much after that. It'd take a pretty extreme effort to change yourself after that. But, you know, God's made a way for that. And if He don't change it, if He's happy, I'm happy. So I'm not worried about even me. And I see me more than all of you. You think I got faults? You should see it from my side. I'm full of it. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for him making a way where there seems to be no way. I'm so rejoicing in this. And you know, sometimes you go through life and you can't help it. You got to hold yourself down just a little bit. You know, think, Lord, what have you done? What, you've given us everything. Nobody's seen this like we see it before. Paul didn't see this like we see this now. No, and the only thing we got left is just take a change. Take a change. Meet a few foolish virgins on this side, which he'll bring them to me. I don't, that's not even an effort. He brings them. He puts that love in their heart. I don't have to try to be so good so they love me. They just love me. They love the word. They're ordained to love it just like me. I didn't have to work this up. I'm just ordained to love his word. I'm so thankful that it's just that simple, that plain. I'm so thankful the devil is not even in the mix anymore. This is so much higher than anything the devil's ever got to bring. I don't even give him time of day. He's got no hold on me. He's got no power over this bride. We've overcome everything. Thank God for it. Amen.
Amen. I want to play with Brother Jay. I'm blessed. I'm just thinking about how this service is gone, but I'm thinking about my life and how God put that seed in me.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed. Lord, if nothing else, I'm so blessed. Amen.
I am blessed. That's page 173. Key of G.
Amen. Start over. I'm not sure what key that you... G?
Gonna sneak in a little testimony.
Amen.
God is very, 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 very good.
Yes.
I'm so glad to be part of this end time revelation. Here we are in the second day of the Son of Man, and he's on the full scene.
Right.
We can call things, we can bind, we can loose. I'm just so grateful to be part of it. And it's so great to know it doesn't matter if you feel like it, if you don't feel like it, if it looks like it, if it don't look like it. He's constant. He's faithful. In just a little while, he that shall come will come,
amen.
And he won't tarry.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Share with you that helped me. This weekend, it was kind of a learning lesson and a great thing for me, but I had a chance to go to the, it's called a COFA, Central Ohio Flute Association festival. And I was looking forward to it because I had, they had this raffle. And I thought my name was on this ticket. You know, I had a chance to win, possibly out of
probably thousands that were there, and I had probably a chance of one and zero, winning this intermediate professional flute that I dined to get. So when I was, unfortunately, you know, heard of the passing of Sister Donna, they wanted me to play. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I can get still go to both, because both was on Saturday. And found out, well, the drawing's after 2 o'clock. And it's at Ohio State. So I said, I might can make it, I might can make it. So last week, I was coming home from my mom and dad's, and I was praying, sitting in the car praying. Lord, what should I do? I know I need to be there, but I can make it. Can I go back and forth? And sure enough, I had to pull over. This funeral procession comes down. And I'm like, okay, you gave me my answer on what I need to do. I need to do. And it was weird because I left my parents' house a little earlier that day. So it was meant for me to see this long funeral procession coming down. And I pulled over and I'm like, well, thank you, Lord. This is what I need to do. So as I contemplated, I said, you know, I'm going because God had something for me to do that day.
Amen.
And I had to do it. I had to put what I wanted to do aside because yes. He had something for me to do.
Amen.
And I said, well, my prayers are answered because I asked God to put me out front. I want to play. Well, what am I doing? That's what I'm doing. So I said I had to put what I, it's like a little kid, you know, when your parent tells you no, you can't do it and you want to do something else. And I'm like, no, I want to do this. So all that after I finished, you know, contemplating all this stuff, when I walked, I felt good. I said, this is where God wants me. This is where the body needs me. This is where I'm going. And I had no doubts about my dear thing. I didn't think about the flute fest anymore. I'm like, I'm done. This is where God has me to do. This is what he wants me to do. So me, you know, I'm going home and I'm looking and I have a little nose. And so what came to me was Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I want to do his will, his purpose for my life, for the body, and I'm glad I was there. So
good. All right, come on.
Amen.
Those two can be over here for the girls and got boys.
I got a prayer request. Yeah. My son, Adam.
Yeah,
I got the Holy Spirit after him.
Okay, send him.
You know, Brother Bram talked about that car that was stolen.
Yeah.
He said sent the Holy Spirit after, right. like a dog on a right. on a trail, you know.
Amen.
That boy knows better.
Yeah.
And I was telling Brother Don the other day, you know, I said, you know, Brother Moore talks about, you know, his son and, you know, Elijah's having trouble and different things, but this is my son.
Yeah.
This means everything to me.
Amen.
That boy knows better. If he was just caught up, I say, well, Lord, you got it. But he knows better. And he's just running with all that he's got.
Amen.
trying to get away from this because he knows if he gets close to it,
that's it.
He's going to suck him right back in. So, Lord, let him get close enough to it and suck him right back in because he's seen too much.
Yeah.
You know, it's different when you don't know, but when you see it, he got young too.
Yeah.
You know, so he's running, but the Lord can outrun him, I'm quite
Amen.
Sure. But, you know, take him on your heart.
Amen.
I want him here.
Amen.
You know, I know I got him, but I want him here.
I want him here. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
A couple announcements. Say, this coming Thursday, March 9th, we're going down to Little Bethlehem. I know Brother James and Brother Moore are going. Anybody else wants to go, let me know. We'll figure that out. Then I want to start announcing March 17th. Also, don't forget we're going to do bowling at Bowl 1 there in Fairborn at 7 p.m. on that Friday. So I want to get that before us. And then we know that we've got our Easter services coming up April 1st and April 2nd. So keep those things in prayer. And Brother Moore's trip and Brother Doug's trip.
Amen. Let's sing page 195, We Fall Down, the key of G.
Yes.
Let's get him up. We fall down. Yes. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. I want to say I appreciate the volunteers back there getting things together. God bless them. It's a body ministry. Appreciate them getting that together. They had a pretty good service to get in on. I was like, ooh. This ain't an easy one to do. You had songs to play, songs to find, all that kind of stuff. So jump in the water. Yeah, page 194. We fall down.
Yes.
We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy. Mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. Yes, we cry, holy, holy, holy. At the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 in the land.
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning crying, holy, holy, holy. For Lord, you are the only one who are worthy of all of our praise and our glory. We thank you for a promise, a hope of life eternal. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how you give us an opportunity to come together, to fellowship around your word. And Lord, you said where two and three are gathered, you'd be in the midst. And we ask you, Lord, just come this morning. Come by here, Lord. Speak to our hearts. Touch those that are sick. Touch those that have a need for you naturally, spiritually, financially, whatever the needs are. Lord, we ask you to move on behalf of the people. So you said you provide all our needs. And Lord, we're asking you to take care of those needs today. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for those that are tuning in. Ask you, Lord, to let your word move through their hearts and their lives so that when the world looks at them, they'll see you. Lord, I've opened up the Bible here, but Lord, I pray that you'll open up our hearts, that you'll speak to our hearts and get us prepared. Soften us, Lord. Get rid of the heady and high-mindedness and put a soft heart in there that when your word comes forth, Lord, that we can receive it with thanksgiving. That we won't be trying to fight it and keep our own thinking, but that we'll lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. And Lord, we'll take your word and apply it to our lives so that you can adjust it to whatever it is that you want us to be. We don't even know what you want from us, Father. Only by you moving in us and moving through us do we find out what the will of the Lord is. I ask you to be with us. Lord, continue to be with Brother Mike and his family and their loss and your gain, Father. We ask you to be with him. And his heart's desire is to be in the house of the Lord, and this is where he is today. Thank you for your word. Just move in this place this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see you all here, and we've got some out. And God bless Brother Praveen. He's out flying across the country to a meeting, and he had to go. He didn't want to go, but he had to go. Sometimes your job calls for that, huh, Jay? And so when you got to go, you got to go. And I appreciate the people who are now being a part of the group in the sound room. And I'm not looking for them just to be a coverage for Praveen. I think Praveen needs help. And so I too, Jay, was amazed this morning when Mike threw a wrench in it. And it's like, he's got what? And they got to do what? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness. All right. But, you know, they did it without a flaw. And I appreciate they even had to figure out, because that wasn't in the class. They had to figure out how to do it. And I appreciate it. And thank them, and Jada's back there with them, and they're helping Jada too. So, and she's been with Praveen helping back there. So I appreciate all the help back there, because you know it's a lot of work. And you know, as we get ready to go to the Philippines, Doug is gonna have the job of recording something. I'm not even quite sure altogether how it's gonna work, but he's gonna have a camera, and apparently it's supposed to be able to connect to our live stream. So if you don't get to see it live, you can see it later because you can save it. And Praveen's working with Doug on that. And I tried to keep it simple. Praveen was looking at a three-camera setup, and I'm like, no, just one little simple camera. We're not making a production, just simple. You know, we've never had that ability, but technology has made it such that if we can get to the internet, then we can actually get the services back here so that you all could see them. In the old days, we used to do VCR tapes. And before that, we did cassettes. So technology has moved us to the point to now, and we can actually broadcast from there. And this is all testing. So maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. If it doesn't, amen. If it does, amen. So we're not going to strain ourselves either way. pray for the upcoming trips we've got coming up, and Easter's coming, and Brother Tony's going to be here, and I'm excited to get to see him again. So be praying for the services there. So I got a thought I wanted to. I appreciate everybody coming out to the funeral yesterday, and those that you could, who could make it, and if you couldn't make it, that's understandable. But you all were well represented. I'll tell you that much. I felt like I was preaching at home, and and I got to meet Mike's mother and Mike's sister, and they both told me how much Mike loves this church, and they told me more than once, and I told them, I said, well, we'll take care of Mike, and they said, please do. They said he loves you all, and he's there with you, and so they appreciate our love for Mike and Donna. So I appreciate you all being able to come out and keep Mike in your prayers, because you think the last part was hard. This is hard when you have to make adjustments in your life and fill gaps where you used to do one thing. Now you got to think of something else to do, and it's an adjustment. And I never believe what people say. You get over something. Get over a death. You never get over a death. You adjust your life to it and make new decisions according to your new situation. So continue to remember them in your prayer. Donna's okay. She's gone for her reward, so you don't have to pray for Donna. Donna don't need your prayers. Mike needs your prayers. So remember him and Julie and different parts of their family. Well, I'm here this morning, and I got a message that excites me, but I don't know if I could even excite you with what excites me. I don't know. I get nervous because I thought this morning, I said, Lord, if I can show the people what you show me, if I could just let you see what I see, it will enthuse you like it enthuses me. But I love the Word. I do love the Word of God. And I got excited. I got a scripture I want to read here, and I don't want to spill the beans before I get the pot open. If you want to turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 1. And don't forget, we do have Bible study tonight. We're back in that sink there. Now, when I'm gone, it'll be Jay and Jeremiah's turns to do it. I don't know. I should let them do it some before I leave so I could just watch them. I want to see it in action. So I might just sit down. That might be a good thing for me tonight. I might just sit down and let those guys have it. Now you say, well, are you planning? I didn't know that. It's coming out of my mouth. I was not my plan. But more I'm thinking about it, because I'll be gone next weekend. And then when I come back, we'll have Easter. And we won't have Bible study. And then Bible study won't resume again until I'm gone, probably. I don't know. I don't know what the schedule is. But you're being left in some great hands. I have no doubt in my mind that these two fellas know what they're doing. And matter of fact, they're the ones who give me the answers. They sit right on the front row, and they give me the answers and read the quotes for me. So they know how to do this, so it'll be good. So pray for the brothers. They'll have work to do. It's good to have Jay back. He was out of town, and his work called for his a departure, and he went reluctantly. And then he got over there and couldn't hardly get back because the flights were canceled. There were tornadoes in the south, and the weather was bad. And I was praying, Jay, Lord, get him home. And it's good to have him home. I like all my chicklets home. I like them under my wings. I worry about you when you're gone, and I'm concerned about you, and I like to have you home. And it's a little selfish on my part, because I just like you, and I miss you when you're not here. And you think nobody would notice that you're not here, but, you know, it's noticeable. Even one person gone, I know, and I appreciate you all. Hebrews chapter 1, I want to read a couple of verses here, and then I'll get started. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much more better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word. Now, I want to title this message, as Brother Branham did, Christ is revealed in his own word. And I'm excited about it because I was listening to that service and Brother Branham was saying some things that I thought, my goodness, we need to share this with the body here. And the thing I loved about it is that this Bible is like no other book that you've ever held, that you've ever read, that you've ever encountered. It is so special because it is not just writings of men. See, that's why people think they can take it or leave it. They can give it, they can take part of it and leave part of it. You can't leave any of this. This is the Word of God. And you say, well, you say it's the Word of God. Well, everything that God had promised in the Scripture come to pass. So if you want to know what God was, if you ever wanted to know what God was going to do, this is the only place that you can go and really get the full picture of what God's plan was. Now you say, well, we've got the Quran, we've got this, we got that. Those books are not the Word of God. Those are the word of prophets and men who wrote the books. But the difference between those books and this books, and like the book of Maccabees and all those other books that they're trying to add onto it, this book runs. You don't have to add to it. You don't have to take away. You don't have to try to explain it. You don't have to say, well, it's good to a point. No, this is the Word of God. And the Word of God runs from Genesis to Revelation. Everything in this book has a dovetail, every scripture, every type, every shadow. And if you run into something that bump heads, it's not this book, it's you. You never have to lay down the Bible and say, well, I don't believe that. Not a believer, because everything in this book comes from God. Now I said, in times past, God spoke to us through the prophets. And see, God uses prophets because God's prophets carried the word. You know, and when he was dealing with Elijah, he called Elijah son of man. And he called him son of man because he was carrying the word of God. Whenever you have the word of God in a vessel, you got a son of man. And when you got your prophets, and the reason God called prophets is because he knew what his plan was. He knew what he wanted to do, but nobody else could have known it. Nobody knew what God was doing. Matter of fact, after the fall, it looked like it was a mistake. After the fall, it looked like God had stumbled. After the fall, it looked like God allowed Satan to overpower him. But it wasn't that at all. God just had plans of things that he wanted to do. Remember, God's temporary will does not supersede his permanent eternal will. God's eternal will be manifested no matter what. And so what he did with the prophets, he used the prophets to speak his word. And even when he spoke the word, it wasn't a Bible then. It wasn't a Bible. It was just writings of the prophet. As the word of God to the prophet, and the prophet wrote those scrolls, and they kept those scrolls, and eventually they had a bunch of scrolls because the prophets kept coming and prophesying about the word of God. Well, they were all leading up to Jesus Christ. Every prophet, every prophecy, every type, every shadow. Brother Branham said, if you read the Bible and you don't see Jesus Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. Why? Because he's in every verse. It's all talking about him. It was all leading up. He is the center of everything in the Bible. Oh, it's so fitting that he was right there between the Old and the New Testament. He was right in the middle of the Old and the New Testament because he bridged it. Jesus Christ was the Old Testament revealed. And the Old Testament was the prophet's word that God had given them, and they spoke the word, not even knowing themselves altogether what they were saying. They didn't know what it meant. When they said a virgin shall conceive, they didn't have a clue. They just spoke it. You just speak the word. When you're a prophet, you just speak the word. You don't have to bring it to pass. Brother Branham said that God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. So when the prophets came on the scene, everything they talked about led them to Jesus. Every scripture, every quote that you read in the Old Testament. Remember, the Old Testament wasn't book, chapter, and verse. These were letters. These were writings. These were scrolls. They'd have to open up the scroll and find a place to read. And don't go to chapter 3 of Isaiah. They just read Isaiah. And they'd pick a place in Isaiah to start, and they'd pick a place in Isaiah to stop. Because the prophet Isaiah had to prophesy of things that were going to come. Amen. But it was all hidden in the scrolls.
Right.
Nobody knew what was going on. Man had no idea about God. Now, Brother Branham said, now notice, the Bible was written by prophets. We see that it says it, that man of old, moved by the Holy Ghost, wrote the Bible. In Hebrews 1, it says, God in sundry times and diverse manners spake to their fathers by the prophets, in the last day through their son, Jesus Christ. See? Because he was a manifestation of all the word of the prophet.
Amen.
He was the fullness of the word. The word was in him. All the word. Not most of it. All the word. He was Emmanuel. God manifested in the flesh.
That's right.
So in those Old Testament scrolls, men could not understand what was going on. God always hid himself in his word.
Amen.
And men could not understand what God was doing because they didn't understand the word. They had to have a prophet come. And when the prophet come, he brought the word.
Right.
And when he even brought the word, men still couldn't get to understanding of the word of God. Though Isaiah spoke it, though Moses spoke it, though the Old Testament wrote about it, though everybody talked about it, when Jesus came on the scene, the church world was still caught off guard. They didn't know the word of God. They didn't even know what to look for. The elect did. I think to about the woman at the well. She said, when the Messiah coming, see, there's some people who knew what to look for. And it was hidden in the word. That's what I love about it. It's always been in the word. God has never done anything outside of his word. He never has and never will. So if you know what God wanted to do and what he has done, you should be able to find it in the word. If you want to know what God is doing, you should be able to find it in the word. If you want to know what God's planning on doing, you should be able to find it in the word. Because the word of God is a full mind of God in right now in written form. That's what this is. This is the word of God in written form. But that's just not enough. People carrying their Bible is not enough.
Amen.
You got to have an understanding.
Amen.
You got to do like they said this morning. You got to understand what you read.
Amen.
You got, and everybody can't pick this up.
Amen.
That's what I love about it. When God wrote the scriptures and wrote the Bible and wrote the word, mankind could not get an understanding of what it was talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, they probed at it. They probed at it. They hid at it. They tried to do it, but they didn't know what it was. And they didn't understand that the Bible was an inspired word of God.
Amen.
People don't realize it's the inspired word of God. It is no less than the inspired word of God.
Right.
Oh, you pick up any other book and you read any other book and it's not inspired of God and it won't tell you the past, it won't tell you the present, and it won't tell you the future. Man, I hit at it, he'll miss at it, he'll write books and he'll write things and he'll do all kinds of things, but that's man. Whether it happens or not, that's man. Man will write something and in 20 years he'll find out that it's not right and they'll change it. Man, I'd give you some drug or something, and later on they say, oh, boy, by the way, you hear how all those side effects of anything you take?
Right.
Oh, this is going to help you, but this is going to kill you. That's man for you.
Amen.
And man, you might as well expect man to do that. Oh, yeah, all those politicians, they'll promise you the world. And as soon as they get to office, they change their mind. Why, they're a man. Brother Brown said, I'm glad I'm a man. I can change my mind.
Right.
It's not a bad thing to be a man, but it's not God. Because
right.
God doesn't change his mind.
Amen.
If God ever does anything, he's going to always do it.
That's right.
If God ever chooses you, he'll always keep you.
Amen.
He never changes his mind about his word. That's what I love about it. When God says it, God says it, that settles it. You don't have to try to figure it out. You don't have to try to wonder if it's going to come to pass. It will come to pass because God's going to make sure it happens. 2 Timothy chapter 3 said, all scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine. You can build your church on it. You can build on that rock. That's a good foundation to build on. Anything else you build on will fail. Anything else will fall apart. But if you build your foundation on the word of God, it's good for doctrine. It'll stand. It's good for doctrine, for reproof. People don't want reproof. They don't want to be rebuked. They don't want to be told when they're wrong. They don't want to be told to get right. Get right, church, and let's go home. They don't want to hear that. But this Bible is good for doctrine and reproving you. Correction starts right here. If God's going to correct you all, he's going to correct you in the house. You can only be corrected where the house of God is. If you want what God's word is, if you really want to be corrected by God, you got to find a house that's got his word.
That's right.
If you'd say, well, I'm a Buddhist, and you have your Buddhist doctrines, and you got your Buddhist things, and you do, me and Clarice went to a Buddhist funeral. We didn't know it. We were just there for, we were going to go just do the viewing, and we walked in, and the mom came up. It was her daughter, and we knew her daughter. It was Grace from Lowe's, and she had passed away. And Clarice and I went to the viewing, and her mom said, stay for the funeral. We thought, oh, okay. Well, they started the funeral. Lo and behold, find out this is a Buddhist. And they went their incense, their smokes, and they did their prayers, and the leaves, and the flowers, and all. They did it all. And I'm thinking, it's all look pretty, looks good. But it's not the word of God. Where's the hope? Where's the promise? Where is it if I lay this house down, I got another one waiting on me? Oh, I'm not worrying about what Buddha says. I'm not worried about what Muhammad says. I'm not worried about what the book of the Maccabees says. The lost scrolls. You know, people used to ask me about the lost scrolls. What about the lost scrolls? Aren't they part of the word of God? No. If they would have been part of the word of God, they would have been in the word of God.
That's right.
He don't want you to add to. He don't want you to take away.
Amen.
He don't need nothing extra. We got everything we need right here in the word of God.
Amen.
If this ain't enough to save you, you can't be saved.
Amen.
The scripture is given for this by the inspiration of God. God himself.
Yeah. Amen.
God chose prophets.
Right.
See, God taught, that was God's chosen way to bring the word.
Amen.
People don't want to believe in prophets. I'm sorry. You can't get to God without prophets.
That's right.
Because it takes a prophet to receive the word.
Amen.
And you and the people don't believe in Brother Branham being a prophet. They said, well, prophets were into John. They got a scripture for that. But it's twisted.
Amen.
Prophets were unto John. But then God turned right around in the church and added them back again.
That's right.
After the Lord Jesus Christ, he put in there preachers, teachers, prophets, evangelists.
Yeah.
He did all these. What for? The perfecting of the saints.
Yeah.
The work of the ministry.
Right.
We needed work done on us. We still needed more word. You know, you didn't have all the word when you had the Old Testament.
No, sir.
The Jews don't believe in the New Testament. They only believe in the Old Testament. You don't have all the word with just the Old Testament. If you just got the Old Testament, you just still have the word. It's concealed to you. You still don't know what it is. Jews are blinded today because all they got is the Old Testament. Just prophecy. And they got prophecy without the fulfillment. Until the prophecy becomes a manifestation, it's just prophecy. So here the Jews are, they're sitting with the Old Testament scrolls, Old Testament Bible, and they had the very thing that talked about the coming of Jesus Christ. Reading it in their synagogues, running over at every service in their synagogues, reading the scroll, and turn around and crucify the very one that the Old Testament scrolls are talking about. When Jesus came, he came as the interpretation of the Old Testament scrolls. And at the New Testament came in, when the New Testament came into existence, it was coming into existence to show us what Christ Jesus has done for us, coming out of the Old Testament prophecies. So if you only have the Old Testament, you don't have a revelation. All you got is the Ten Commandments. That's what tickles me about these Pentecostals and these denominations, and they're holding on to the Ten Commandments, and they're trying to get you to live by the Ten Commandments. You cannot live by the Ten Commandments. All the Ten Commandments did was to show you how bad off you were. If you look in a mirror, it doesn't change your hair. It just shows you the condition that it's in.
That's right.
So if you had all the Ten Commandments in front of you, all it's going to show you is that you needed Jesus.
Right.
If you read all the Old Testament scrolls, all it's going to show you is that you needed Jesus. It all pointed to him, and unless you had a prophet, you could not even understand the scrolls. Though you had it in your hand, you couldn't understand it. God hid himself in his word.
Amen.
He always has hid himself in his word. He started from the very beginning with Moses. He said, a prophet he'll raise up like it unto me.
Amen.
But he didn't put his name on it.
Right.
But he's talking about Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. So all scripture is given by inspiration.
Yeah.
And it's profitable to help you out. Brother Branham said, he said, let every man's word be a lie.
Amen.
And mine be true. For heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. All scripture is given by inspiration. Therefore, it's good for profitable for doctrine. And remember that all scripture will be fulfilled. Every bit of it. Think about that. Everything in this Bible has got to be fulfilled. And will be. When he talked about things that happened from the building of the church over there in Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2, all the way up to the marriage supper, all the way over to the new heaven and new earth, the judgment, lake of fire, hell, all those things. Everything that was talked about in this Bible will all manifest. You don't have to worry about, well, will it happen? See, people get tired of waiting on the Lord. They get tired of waiting because they think, well, you know, he said he was coming. He said he's coming. This is 2023. He ain't come yet. Maybe I thought about it wrong. Maybe he's really not. Oh, no. His word said. And he's true to his word. He's true to his word. If he says anything in his word, he will keep it. That's why we use the word of God. That's why we can find nothing better. Oh, I love it. I love the Word of God. I love the Bible. I love the fact that God has given us something that we can actually understand what his plan is, what his mind is, how he thinks about things.
Amen.
He hid himself in the books. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation.
Right.
Don't make it about you.
Amen.
Don't think it's about what you can do. For the prophecy came not in times of old by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Now you say, wait a minute. I thought the Holy Ghost didn't come till Jesus came here. The Holy Ghost has been here all the time.
Yes.
But yet it had to come.
Right.
See, you got to understand how to read the scroll. People read the scroll, but they don't know how to write it, divide it. They read and say, well, the men of old were moved on by the Holy Ghost, but I thought the Holy Ghost didn't come till after Jesus died.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But the Holy Ghost is eternal. The Holy Ghost is here.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost is God.
Amen.
And God moved on the men of old. It's just another manifestation of God. The Holy Ghost moved on those Old Testament saints. Because I've had preachers ask me, because they get confused. They say, well, how in the world did John the Baptist get the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb when Jesus hadn't died? The Holy Ghost was here before John. The Holy Ghost moved on Moses. The Holy Ghost moved on Isaiah. He moved on all the prophets of the Old Testament. That's what made it so special. It was the Word of God coming out of those prophets. And outside of the prophets, you got no word. You write all the books you want. Write all the stories you want. We've had books written about books and books and books and books. We got libraries full of books. But it's not like the Bible. Bible is a special book. And Brother Branham was explaining this, and I got excited looking at it. Now, he said here, now Jesus was all the inspired prophecies, testimonies. And all the prophecy was brought to light in his age. Every prophecy of the Old Testament came to light when Jesus showed up. All the books of the Old Testament made sense then. All up until Jesus came, it didn't make sense. A virgin shall conceive, what are you talking about? By stripes we're healed, what are you talking about? My God, why have thou forsaken me? What's that talking about? He was the fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy.
Amen.
I mean, that's what's so beautiful about it, is that God hid himself so in the Word that the church world couldn't find it. People think God's just now doing that. No, he's done it all the way through.
Amen.
When Jesus stepped on the scene and he was born in a manger, it was nothing like what the church world expected. They had the scrolls. They had the prophecies. They just were not ordained for the understanding of it. When those wise men come, they understood the signs. They understood the star. They understood the prophecies. They were ordained to understand those things. The only way that you can read this Bible really is if you're ordained to do so. If you're not ordained to do so, you'll read it like a storybook. It might as well be Hansel and Gretel. It may as well be a love story from some old book writer. But it's the Word of God, and only the elect of God can see inside the and find God hidden there. Nobody else can do it. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many doctrines of divinities you have. I don't care how educated you are. If you don't have God dealing with you, if you don't have God revealing this to you, if you don't have a prophet, you will never understand what God's doing. Now, I'm going to read this because I got excited looking at this when listening to Brother Branham. Now, let's talk about the Bible for a minute. Let's talk about just the Bible. He said, let's go in the history of the Bible just a minute and see where it comes from. It was written by 40 different writers. 40 men wrote the Bible over a space of 1,600 years apart. This book that you bring here, the book that you just throw on the back door windowsill when you get in your car, the one you take and put on your coffee table and don't even worry about it again until next service. It was written by 40 different prophets. 40 different men, 1,600 years apart. That's going to give you a new appreciation for that book you're carrying. 1,600 years apart, and at different times, predicting the most important events that ever happened in world history. And many times, hundreds of years before it happened. And there is not one error in the entire 66 books. The books that you're carrying, God hidden in that book. 40 writers, 1,600 years apart. Not one error in the entire 66 books. Oh my. You know, you can't hardly do anything without having errors. Errors and contradictions? You can't do that by yourself. Let alone having 40 different writers, different backgrounds, different lifestyles, different eras, different time periods, 1,600 years. Do you know how long? 1,600 years? And they wrote a book that never had one error in it, not one contradiction? I got excited reading this. I said, we need to understand this book that we're carrying. We need to understand how real this Bible is. It's not just a book. It's not just a bunch of men's ideas. It's just not. This is God's word. Yes. And it was put together over 1,600 years by 40 writers. Yeah. They didn't even know each other.
Amen.
That made me want to.
Yeah.
How perfect the Bible is.
Right.
Christ is revealed in his own word.
Amen.
God hid him in there so that nobody could find it. But those 40 men knew that there was something that God told them to write. And they weren't even together. Remember, 1,600 years apart, the Bible was wrote from Moses to the death of John at the Isle of Patmos. 1,600 years, and was wrote by 40 different authors. One didn't even know the other. What if we were to write a book here today? And I tell everybody to go home today and write a part of a book. Now, I'm not even going to tell you the topic. I'm not going to tell you the subject. You write by inspiration today and bring it back tonight. And then we're going to take all the pieces of this book. And I didn't ask you to write a whole lot. I mean, these guys wrote a lot. Psalms is a lot. A lot of books. Find out just 2 pages. If I just said, write me 2 pages. And bring it back tonight. And we're going to staple them all together. And we're going to read this book. Now, you know how impossible it is. And we're all in the same age. We're all sitting together, has same beliefs, same. This would be much easier for us to do than for us to take and put 1,600 years between us and say, write a book where it never going to contradict itself and every bit of it comes to pass because it's prophecy. I'm trying to help you just appreciate your Bible. How much it is the inspired word of God. It's not just a bunch of books and letters put together.
Amen.
It's the inspired word of God.
Amen.
And it runs perfectly from Genesis to Revelation. No contradictions. Don't have to back up on anything. For every time, every age. Some of them never even seen the word. But when they wrote it and was understood to be prophets, then when they put their prophecies together, each one of them dovetailed one to the other. Oh, look at God. And this book, that is 66 books, was pertinent, like Don said, for every age. It's never gotten old. We never run out of it. We never... It thrilled me so much. I thought, I got to share this so you understand this book that you're reading. It's not just a book, but it is the word, inspired word of God.
Amen.
And I got a kick out of this. I'm going to read this to you. Brother Branham said, look at Peter, who announced on the day of Pentecost, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Paul had never heard nothing about it. He went down to Arabia for 3 years to study the Old Testament and see who this pillar of fire was that spoke to him on the road, saying, "Saul, who I persecute, thou me." How could he be wrong? He never even consulted the church at all. Paul didn't talk to Peter and James and John. And 14 years later, when he met Peter, he didn't even know Peter. Talk about God. 14 years later, when he met Peter, they were preaching the same thing. People think that you got to go and do all this stuff and got to try to get everybody on the same page and got to do all these things, that you got to make the church this and make it that. You don't have to do none of that. If God is in it, you will be preaching the same thing. Amen. You don't have to come here and say, "Now, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to preach. This is how you got to say it. This is how you got to." Men of old were moved on by the Holy Ghost, and they wrote 66 books by inspiration, didn't know each other. Why do we got to go to theology school? Why do you got to be trained by man? Why we got, "Oh, I know it's all good and it's all fine and okay," but it's not God. No. Brother Branham said education just takes you that much farther away from God.
Right.
We need inspired men of God.
Amen.
We need inspired Christians.
Yeah.
You can't even see God unless you're inspired.
Right.
The same Holy Ghost that moved on those men to write it is the same Holy Ghost that has to move on you to see it.
Right.
If he doesn't move on you, educate yourself all you want.
Amen.
You won't get this.
Nope.
This won't come by your education.
That's right.
This won't come by your training. This won't come by your classes. This won't come by the things that you can put together. This will come by the Holy Ghost, or you won't get it. You can come to church all you want. Sit at these benches all you want. Try to get smart all you want. But unless the Holy Ghost moves on you, you'll never get it. Because it's the inspired word of God. Oh, it's going to make you appreciate what's going on in your own life. If you can see the word of God and understand this thing, you need to thank God. 14 years apart. And when he met Peter, they were preaching the same thing, word by word.
Yeah.
That's our Bible. Remember what Peter told Paul? He said, "Oh, man, you preach things that are, you talk things that are hard to be understood." Peter walked with Jesus.
Yeah.
Peter walked on water.
Yeah.
Paul never met him. But Paul had such a revelation,
amen,
inspired by the Holy Ghost,
right,
that 14 years after Paul come on the scene with, yeah, Peter, 14 years later, he was preaching some things. Peter had to bow down and say, "Oh, Lord, that's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the truth, Paul."
Come on. Amen.
Word by word, that's our Bible. Yeah. Let other man's word fail. There's no man can add to it. You don't add no more to the Bible. No, sir. It's the complete revelation.
Amen.
It's all. Jesus gave us the complete revelation of who he was.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
In these 66 books. Over 1,600 years of getting it together.
Yeah.
It was God's mind being put down into a form that we could look at. And look, and in this form, if you are of God, you can find Christ in there. Well, that's what he said, brother. "I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O Lord." It's all about Jesus. And if you ever see it, it reminds me of that one drawing, that one poster that is a bunch of dots. And you look at the dots and you read under the bottom, it says, "Christ is in here."
Yeah.
And you look at it, you look at it, you look at it, and you don't see nothing. You don't see nothing. Then all of a sudden, your eyes adjust. The painting doesn't adjust. Paper didn't change. Your eyes adjust. And all of a sudden, the Hoffman head of Christ pops out at you. And you see it. And then once you see it, you can stand anywhere in the room and see it. But until your eyes are adjusted, you can't see it. Problem with man is their eyes aren't adjusted to this Bible. They're looking at this Bible and they're seeing three. They're seeing Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're looking at this Bible and they're seeing their works, what they can do, what they can offer. They're looking at this Bible saying, but if you look in this Bible, Christ is hidden in his own word.
Amen.
If you really can see in this Bible, Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
There's nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can add to it. He covered all that was, all that is, and all that is to come. He took every. He was right in the center of this book. Covered it all, if you can see it. But once you see it, you can't unsee it. That's why Brother Branham said, if you look in that Bible and you don't see Jesus Christ in every verse, read it again. In other words, your eyes aren't adjusted. You're not seeing it. Christ is hidden there. He was hid in this Bible the whole time. Oh, I can go back to the Old Testament and pull out the scriptures, but I don't want to do it. Take too much time. But he's in there. Jesus told him. He tried to straighten him out. Okay, John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You can't see him. He's hid in his word, and you can't see him. You're trying to do something. You're trying to change something. You're trying to make up something. You're trying to do it. It's not about what you can do. It's about what Jesus did.
Right.
Like Brother Children said, isn't Calvary enough?
Right.
You never heard his voice or seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent ye believe not. Jesus said, search the scriptures. For in them you think, he knew they didn't have it. You think you have eternal life. And these are they that testify of me. Every scripture testified of Jesus. He said, well, I didn't see that. And I didn't see it in Esther. You need to read the story. I didn't see it in Ruth. You need to read the story. Need to know about the kinsman redeemer. I don't see about Isaac and Rebekah. You need to read how the groom needed a bride.
Yeah.
Oh, and you start really seeing the Bible like he's hidden it, because Christ is hidden in every scripture.
Yeah. Right.
And you got to be able to see that. And if you can't see that, then I'm sorry. If God can't do nothing with you. If he cannot reveal his word to you, then he has nothing to work with. Now, they were too smart in that day to catch the meaning of God's simple way of doing things. It wasn't polished for them. It's got to be polished. See, that's what church people want. They want something polished. They're mad because I'm over here and not standing behind the pulpit. It's got to be polished. You got to be posh. You got to have it all your words just right. You got to use a lot of types and a lot of shadows. And it's got to be polished. You got to have something that's going to draw their attention. I'm not trying to draw your attention. The word doesn't need it. If the word don't get you, I don't want you. I don't care how much money you have. If the word don't pull you here, I don't want you. I don't need you. You can't do God no good. But they want something that's polished. They want something that's nice. They want something that's got choirs and beautiful music and robes and all this stuff at pomp and circumstance. They want all that stuff. I'm sorry, but I'm not about all that stuff. I'm only about the Word of God.
Amen.
If you want somebody that's polished, oh, they could have got a high priest, a Catholic priest, to do that funeral yesterday. And no doubt he would have polished it up. He would have used incense and smoke and maybe put a flag over the coffin and do a lot of this and a lot of that, and oh, it would have been beautiful. But I climb up in there. She asked me, she said, "You want me to go get a chair?" Because they had like a little bar stool sitting up here. And she said, "Do you want me to go get you a chair?" You know, a lot of times a preacher, he'll go up and he'll bring some preachers with him. See, she's trying to put up that polish. You want me to bring the chairs in? And I thought, I don't want you to waste your time. I don't need you carrying in a chair for me, because they got those big chairs, you know, those big preacher's chair. I had a poor little lady try to pull that thing in. I said, I'll just sit on that stool right over in that corner. She's like, you going to have anybody with you? I said, no, I'm all by myself. So I took away all the polish. I just got it right down to bare bones. I'll take my little Bible, get over there in that corner on that bar stool, and wait till my time. That wasn't very polished. No smoke, no incense. But that's what people want.
Yeah.
That's what people call God. That's why Cain got in trouble, because he wanted something that was polished, something that looked good, something that sounded good. They want the high priest. When they got themselves Saul, they got Saul because he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was a good-looking tall man, and they wanted a leader that looked like a king.
Right, yeah, right.
When God went to choose David, they didn't even take him out of the field because he didn't look like anything. He looked like a little ruddy old sissy boy out there singing and harping with the sheep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
right. And Jesse's sons, they brought all those big broad boys in there.
Yeah.
And poor David didn't have any, had anything with him. All he was a little bitty runt, because his brother's got all the muscle and meat. Yeah. And his brother's big and strong, come marching in there. And Jesse's up there trying to promote his brothers and saying, "Take this one. Is this the one?" And the prophet went over. Samuel went over and said, "Nope, that's not him." Went to the second, "Nope, that's not him." Went to the third, "Nope, that's when all God all the way." When he got through, now the prophet knew that God sent him. See, a prophet knows the voice of God. The prophet knew that God sent him, and he said, "I wait a minute, something's not right here. Is this all your sons?" And they were so embarrassed about David that they didn't even call him in out of the field. They just knew that he wasn't the king. He said, "Well, I got a little sissy boy out there. David." Samuel said, "Let me look at him." Oh, my.
Amen.
God's not looking for some polished thing.
No, sir.
He's looking for the anointed.
Right.
He's looking for the called.
Yeah.
He's looking for the chosen.
Yeah.
He's looking for somebody that can receive his word.
Yeah.
He's looking for somebody that can believe him. Yeah. All the other brothers wouldn't believe him, but David believed God.
Yes,
coming there before the prophet, he said, "This is the one.
Yeah.
This is the anointed one."
Yeah.
Oh, my. And do you realize once God anointed David, David knew, "My Lord, you are my shepherd.
Yeah.
I don't need nothing.
Yeah.
You're like making me to lay down in green pastures.
Yeah.
You're going to take care of me.
Yeah.
You're going to lead me beside the still waters.
Amen.
Oh, you restored my soul.
Yeah.
Though I walk through the shadows of death." It's just a shadow. It ain't the real thing, because I believe in you, Lord.
Right.
"Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear nothing, not even Goliath."
That's right.
When you get a believer on your hand, when you get somebody that can read the words of the prophet and can read themselves right in that word, you got a believer on your hand.
Yeah.
Mm. They're too smart. Got to be polished. It's got to be high chromed, or they miss it. If they don't have all that, they don't even see God. They look at this church and say, "God ain't here. If God was here, why ain't y'all with the big churches? If God was here, why ain't y'all accepting this? If God is here, why is this happening? Why is that happening? What's this going on here? What's that going on there? God ain't here. Ain't enough polish for him." And he made himself known to the people that believed in his word by saving them and bringing to pass the simple message. This is a simple message. The simple message of Noah. God brought it to pass. Now notice that. Now then again in Moses' day, another time of deliverance. Every time God came to deliver, he always did it in such a simple way. And nobody could see it except for the elect who could see Christ in the Word. Those three wise men, or five or however many it was, they knew what the scrolls had said. And then they could see the signs of the time. So when that star started moving, they moved with it. But then the star went over the denomination. And they went in the denomination. They said, where is he? Said, what you talking about? Don't you know what the scrolls said? What scrolls? See, they weren't believers. They weren't even looking for. Do you know there are not people looking for a prophet in this day? They don't know there is to be one. But it's in the Word. And they sat there. It was so simple. All they had to do was follow the wise men. Just by the term. It should have caught their attention. The wise men, and I preached this message a long time ago, wise men still seek him. We follow the star. We follow the message. We follow the Word. Because in this Word, Christ is hidden. And if you can get into the Word, you can get into Christ. If you can find him in the scriptures, then you can find Christ. People want to know, those men, we would see Jesus. Sirs, we would see Jesus. And he's standing right there before them. They just didn't know what they were looking at. People want to find Jesus today. They don't know what they're looking at. He'll stand right before them, right in their face. And they'll turn around and walk away. They crucified Jesus because they didn't know the Word. Had they known, they would not have crucified him. See, everybody can't read the scrolls. Everybody can't read the scripture. Everybody can't see how God's moving in his Word. But Christ has been in here the whole entire time. Thank God for Luther. You say, well, Luther ain't nothing. Luther's giving you what you're holding today. Jesus said over Matthew chapter 11, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. God hid it from the wise. He took something so big as Jesus coming to redeem mankind and hid it in the words of the prophet. See how powerful the Word is? God hid in the words of the prophet his plan of redemption. And it sat there, he hid himself in the Word that whole time, and then when they started manifesting it, the very people who were in charge of keeping the scrolls of the prophet were the very ones who turned him down. It's been that way every time. The very keepers of the Word of God are the very people who turn God down. Brother Branham preached that message. There they crucified him. The most holy people. Church people. The holy temple. You would think having the scriptures that they wouldn't do. They did it the first time. You would think they wouldn't repeat it at the end time. But here we sit in the very same condition.
Amen.
Because Christ has hid in his word and it's been revealed by a prophet.
Right.
And he's been here and gone. And the same religious people who thought they got rid of him the first time are trying to get rid of him again. They're crucifying the word and making it none effect to the people. Because they don't know the scrolls. They don't know how Christ hid himself in his word. They can't see Christ in the word. All they see is religion. All they see is pomp and circumstance. All they do is go after the gold, go after the things of the world and try to make something happen. And it has nothing to do with God at all. And here he is hidden in his word. He was hidden in the Old Testament and he was hidden in the New Testament. John 1 and 1. Do we know it? In the beginning was the Word. The Word. In the beginning. It all started because of the Word. See, y'all think the Word is just the Bible. It's the Word of God. It was the Word of God before they put it in a book. When the prophet went to Nineveh, he didn't take them a Bible. He brought them the Word.
Amen.
When the prophet steps forth, he brings the Word. We're blessed to have the Bibles. Right. We're blessed to have it written down. But you know, I'd have believed God if I didn't have a Bible.
That's right.
Amen. If the preacher just told me, I don't worry so much about where he's going to look it up from. Right. I ain't worried about the chapter and verse he's getting it from. I'm listening to see if it's going to dovetail with the Word of God.
Amen.
So before there were Bibles, there were believers. Do you realize the majority of the church world didn't even have the Bibles?
That's right. Amen.
But they fulfilled the Word of God.
Amen.
Christ was hid in his word. They were believers of the word. So yeah. Christ was hid in them.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh.
Right.
It was made flesh before it was made paper. He was the living Word of God right amongst the people. The very fulfillment of everything the Scripture had talked about. And he stood right there with them, and they still didn't see him. He was hidden from his own. Nobody knew him. They didn't recognize him. It took the Holy Ghost. Now, the Holy Ghost didn't come till the day of Pentecost. We're getting all mixed up here now. The Holy Ghost didn't come till the day of Pentecost, but the prophets' oaths were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And John the Baptist got the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. And Peter, when he was standing there with Jesus, Jesus asked, he said, who do the men say that I am? Peter finally said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. Peter had no clue. But God himself had revealed it to him and it had come out of his mouth. And it's by the Holy Ghost that he said that.
Amen.
You got to remember, God and his word and the Holy Ghost is the same. When you get the word in you, you got prophecy in you.
Right.
Oh, Michelle was talking about being prophesied. It's just the word.
Right.
It's just the Holy Ghost.
Right.
It's God in you. When you get the word of God in you, you got the prophet in you.
Amen.
Peter stood there and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't show you that, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. God, your Father, revealed that to you. And upon this rock, the rock of revelation. Brother Brown said the rock of revelation is what the church was built on.
Amen.
Upon the rock of revelation. Do you realize without the rock of revelation, you will never see God?
Amen.
No man has seen God at any time.
Yeah.
You are going to get the Holy Ghost and you won't see him. You won't understand it. You won't pick him up. He'll be hiding his word from you. You'll sit in the church and it'll sound good and you'll agree with it. And you can sit here and agree with it and not really believe it. And God still won't move on you. You got to die to your thinking. You got to die to your ideals. You got to die to what you think it is and take up the word of God. Thy word, David said, have I hid in my heart. That's what you got to do. Put the word in you. You and the word become one. It's got to happen. No other way. Your goodness ain't going to get it. The things you drop ain't going to get it. The shining things you try to offer to God ain't going to get it. You must be born again. God said, repent. He also said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He's never changed his mind about his word. If that hasn't happened in your life right now, you're short. Don't even look for the Holy Ghost. If you don't follow his word, he ain't going to follow you. If you don't do what his word says, he ain't going to do nothing for you. Amen. You repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and I guarantee you, you follow the word like that, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What is that? God coming in and revealing who he is in his word to you. Yeah. He is true to his word. And he expects you to accept his word. He expects you to step out on his word. If you know what? A manifestation is the word put to life in your life. That's a manifestation. And every thought of God becomes a manifestation. So if God says, repent and be baptized, and you don't, then God has nothing to work with. Only way you can get rid of your old nature. And he loves his word because he's in his word. And if you get his word in you, you and his word become one, then all ask what you will. Oh my. Ask what you will and it'll be given and done unto you. But the word of God is the thing that people misunderstand so much. They think it's just the book. They think it's just the Bible. It's more than just the Bible. It's the word of God. And if it's the word of God, then you got to live by it. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You can't take part of this revelation and think God's going to do something for you. You got to take all of his revelation, because he and his revelation is one and the same. He and his word are one and the same. Amen. The whole job of the Holy Ghost is to reveal. That's what he's here to do. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll take of mine. My what? My word. And he'll show it unto you. Well, why can't I just read the word? Why do I need the Holy Ghost? Well, I can read. I went to school. I got an education. It's not about reading the Bible. It's not about getting a bunch of quotes. It's not about learning a bunch of things. It's not about learning a bunch of scripture. It's not about being able to quote them. It's about having the word of God living and abiding in you. And it has to be by revelation. The only way the word comes one with you is by revelation. That's right. That's right. You say, what is revelation? That's God personally revealing himself to you. Amen. That's what a revelation is. John told you, right? It's God revealing himself to you. God making himself one with you. God taking what's in this dead letter book and bringing it to life and letting you see Christ. Amen. Because Christ is in there. He's in there. And he's in every part of that scripture. And if you ever want to get a hold of God, get a hold of the word. You say, I don't know nothing about God. Then you don't know nothing about the word. You wonder why we say read your Bible. Brother Brum said, you want to get close to God, read your Bible and pray. Why? Because you're putting the word in you, and then you need God to come and quicken that. You're getting something that God can work with. If all you got is TV shows in there, and all you got is your family in there, and all you got is the world order in there, and the CBS news in there, and the things of this world, if all you got is that in your head and in your mind, that God has nothing to work with. But you take a little time to read a little bit. Take a little time to pray a little bit. Take a little time to consult God a little bit. Become one with his word. Then he's got something to work with. Oh, he'll take a scripture that you heard in church, and you'll think on that thing a little bit, and he'll break that thing down to you. And then when he breaks it down, you and that scripture become one.
Amen.
That's how it works. How do you get stronger? Take the word in. When God's word's preached, take it in. Receive it. Receive thee the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is here and ready to do whatever you need to have done. But you got to receive the word, because Christ is revealed in his own word.
Right.
Christ is revealed by the Holy Ghost to you by his word.
Yes.
You want to know about God and don't know his word? He comes to the word. He quickens the word. John said, the foolishness of preachers, how the Holy Ghost comes to you. He's going to take his word. He said he'll take a mind and show it. Reveal unto you.
Amen.
That's why this excites me, because I see how Christ is so, he's so one with his word.
Yes.
He is so one with his word that you can't get around it.
Amen.
You say, but oh, I got a better way. Your better way won't lead you where I'm going. Oh, I got another route to take. Oh, God's going to lead me this way. If you are not being led by the word of God, it's not the spirit of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Christ is revealed by his own word. He's revealed in his own word. He's hidden in his own word. And to many people, they can't see it. Jesus said, you hid it from the wise.
Yeah, right.
Revelations chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, which God gave unto him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is. Not just Jesus' revelation. It's the revelation of seeing him.
Right.
So you can't see him if you don't get a revelation.
Right.
You can't see him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show. Why is he always showing?
Yeah.
To show is revealing.
Right.
To see. To make known.
Amen.
That's what revelations is all about. And it's so fitting that the book of Revelations is the last book of the Bible. Because just as much as we needed all revelation, we definitely needed the book of Revelation.
Amen.
To show his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God. He just was a witness. He was a secretary. He was a scribe. Bore witness of the word of God. And the testimony of Jesus Christ. Jesus was testifying.
Yeah.
What is he testifying about? His word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus in the book of Revelation said, okay, John, I'm going to show you all that I've been doing since the beginning.
Right.
Now, the story's over. Redemption's done.
Yeah.
Bodies created. Churches built. Everything's done. Now, I'm going to reveal to you. And I want you to write this down, John. I'm going to tell you everything that I've been doing, and I'm going to tell you what are shortly going to come to wind this thing up. John's like, really? You're going to show me all of that? John started writing, and then he thought about us. He said, hey, y'all are special. He said, brethren, said, now in St. John, the first chapter, don't forget it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews 13:8 said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ all the way from Genesis to the last book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The prophets and all those that were foreshadowing Christ, and everything in that book is Jesus Christ. Everything in that book.
Amen.
It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we can offer. Jesus Christ paid the price. He's what the Old Testament was built around. He's what the New Testament was built around. When you read this book that was created by 40 different authors over 1,600 years, and every prophecy, everything that was spoken of, all of that was in here was talking about Jesus Christ. He was revealed in his word. Brother Brown said, the scribe, not author of this book, is St. John the Divine. Historians agree that he lived in the last part of his life in Ephesus, though at the time of the writing of this book on the Isle of Patmos. It is not the life story of John, but it is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the future church ages. Verse 3, it is called a prophecy, and it is actually what it is. This book is usually termed the Revelation of St. John, but that is incorrect. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ given to John for Christians of all ages. It is the only book in the entire Bible that is written by Jesus himself, though personally appearing to a scribe. It is the last book of the Bible, yet it tells the beginning and the end of the dispensation of the gospel. Now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. Right. My goodness, it seems like anybody should be able to understand that book.
Amen.
The whole book was the unveiling of what God had done from before the foundation all the way through time, all the way to the great white judgment, to the new heaven and new earth and walking off into eternity. Every bit of that is in the book of Revelation.
Amen.
And no wonder Jesus had to tell what it was about, because it was he was the only one that could do it.
Yeah.
It was his story.
Right.
He was the one that talked about in the Old Testament.
Right.
He was the one that came as Melchizedek. He's the one that come to, as Jesus. He's the one that come back as the Holy Ghost. He's the one that come to John on the Isle of Patmos.
Right.
He's the one that opened up the seals. He's the one that had the only one worthy to open the seals.
That's right. Amen.
No wonder he had to describe the book of Revelations, the unveiling, because he was the only one that could do it. He's the only one that held the understanding of it. He was the only one that could follow through with it. No one else could do it. It's the last book of the Bible, yet it tells the beginning of the end of the dispensation of the gospel. Now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. The unveiling is perfectly described in an example of a sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. It is the uncovering, revealing what was previously hidden. Now the uncovering is not only the revelation of the person of Christ, but the revelation of his future work on the oncoming seven church ages. Brother Branham described that Michelangelo. Said he kept a cover over it. Chisel, 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 working on it, working on it, working on it. The whole time God was working on the seven church age bride, he kept a hood on it. He did not reveal until it was completed. Michelangelo didn't let nobody see it until it was done. But when he pulled that unveiled cover off, you could see everything. No matter what angle you walked around that statue, it was perfect. No matter what side you stood on, you could clearly see the statue. I think it was a statue of Moses. And it was so perfect that Michelangelo was so inspired himself that he just thought, if I just tell it, this thing, it is so lifelike and so real that it'll speak. And he took his hammer and smacked it on foot and said, speak! But oh, so much more was going on than the Michelangelo. Because God had a bride that he had veiled and covered for the whole 2,000 year span of time.
That's right.
And it was so perfect.
Amen.
I mean, when we look at it from any angle now, No wonder Luther came where he did. No wonder Paul did what he did. No wonder Brother Branham did what he did. That no matter what angle you look at this bride, she was so perfectly put together. And she represented him. He looked at her and saw himself in such a beautiful form.
Amen.
That he took and he told this bride to speak.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
And this bride is now on her feet.
Amen.
She has the revealed word in her. Christ has revealed in his bride. And she's speaking now. She's on her feet. She knows what this thing is. We're no longer looking at a Christ that's hid in his word, but a Christ that's revealed in his word. And we as the bride are on our feet. We know what it is. We know what the body is. We know what the story is. We can look anywhere in this Bible now and see every bit of it.
Amen.
We're no longer groping around in darkness. We're not looking through a glass dimly now. We're seeing face to face, God to God, bride to groom. We're not hidden. Nothing's hidden now from us. You got the word of God in you.
Amen.
He's revealed himself in you and now through you. When you go to a funeral, no wonder you stand out. Everybody else is sitting around with no hope. We're sitting there like we've got hope. We'll see you again, Donna. We know where you're at. We know exactly where you're at. We're not fretting over it. Why? We understand. We see clearly. We see everything clearly. Taking our loved ones, somebody mentioned this morning, no longer this old scarecrow thing that, oh, let me pray them through or something. No, they're going with me. How do you know that? Because I'm the Word.
Amen.
What I speak,
yeah.
He'll speak. What I want, he wants me to have. Why would he not want me to have my loved ones? What kind of God would say, well, I'm going to marry you, but I'm snatching you away from your family, and they'll never see you again. They helped me to get where I'm at. When Esther got in there, Mordecai was right there with her. He's like, yeah, that's my girl. That's Esther. That's my girl. He didn't sit back and say, well, Esther's in the, she's in the palace now. He helped her. He guided her. He counseled her. He made sure she stayed on her job, did her thing. Oh, our loved ones, they're doing what they're doing. We love them. We're going to take them with us. When we finish with our job here, we're taking them home with us. We're not going to leave them here. We're not going to leave them here. So this book is so important, more important than any other book. Brother Brown said, you take 40 different authors of any book, put them together, and they can't do what God did. He said, just think about it. If we just took, he said, just take physicians, for example. He said, if you just took 40 physicians over the last 1,600 years and tell them to put a book together about medical procedures that covers 1,600 years. Oh, they said they took somebody's toenail off and bled them when they had a fever. I forget who it was. I think it was George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, one of them. They took a, they used to cut limbs off. I'm talking, think back to the medical practice 1,600 years ago. You wouldn't even go to a doctor. It's dangerous. But if they wrote books about their medical procedures 1,600 years ago, and you ask the doctor today about those procedures, doctor today would say, we're not using any of those procedures anymore.
That's right.
We don't do any of those things. See how man's thinking can't do what God did with his word? They can't take 1,600 years of doctors and make one manual. Can't take 1,600 years of anything and make a manual. But God did. God's word was perfect when he did it. And he put it in such a way that he said, don't add to it and don't take away from it. It's perfect, just like it is. This word has everything you need in it to get home. Everything. If you need healing, it's in there. You need salvation, it's in there. You need to lay your life down and die. The solution's in there. Everything we need is in there now. And now the book of Revelation is open to us. We are clearly seeing with all that we can see perfectly what's laying before us. He said in verse 3, if you can read and understand this book of Revelation, you're blessed. You're blessed. Why? Because you're sitting looking at the unveiled Word of God. Now, to the rest of the world, it's still veiled. But because we had a prophet, it's been revealed to us what that book holds. And that book of Revelation held everything that God had in His plan from the beginning to the end. I'm going to read one more quote, and I'm going to close. This is out of the church age book, and we read it a lot. As I've already said, this book, Revelation, is a consummation of the Scriptures. It is even placed exactly right in the canon of Scriptures at the end. Now, you can know why it says it's that anyone who reads it or even hears it is blessed. It is the revelation of God that will give you the authority over the devil. Do you hear that? I read that, I thought, I need to stop at that point. The revealing of the book of Revelation is what gives you authority over the devil. You don't have to put up with his junk anymore. When he says you're not going, you say, oh, yes, I am. When he says you're going to die, you say, I got another tabernacle. He says you don't live good enough, you say, Jesus paid it all. We got an answer for everything. He says, your life ain't worthy of nothing. He says, I'm living exactly the Word of God for the hour I'm living in. Haven't you read about me in the book of Revelation? I mean, we've got answers now. We don't have to listen to the devil's lies. Now you can know what to say to anyone who reads or even hears. He's blessed. The revelation of God will give you authority over the devil. And you can see why they who would add or take from it is cursed. You see why they're cursed? Because this is God's word. This ain't man's word. This isn't a combination of Paul and John. This is the word of God, compiled and put together over 1,600 years. And perfect like it is. God doesn't need you to add or change one word of it. Said, don't add or take away from it. For it's a perfect revelation of God. Let's see, don't add to or take away from it, or you're cursed. It would have to be so, for who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? It is that simple. There is nothing for such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. See, verse 3, blessed is pronounced on those who give special attention to this book. That's you. That's me. I think it refers to the Old Testament custom of a priest reading the word to the congregation in the morning. You see, many could not read, so the priest had to read to them. As long as it was the word, the blessings were there. It doesn't matter if you could read. It doesn't matter if it was read or heard. The time is at hand. The time was not at hand previously. Up until this time, it wasn't at hand. In the wisdom and economy of God, this mighty revelation, though fully known of God, could not come forth hitherto. Thus we immediately learned a principle. The revelation of God for every age can come in that age only and at a specific time. God has been revealing and unveiling Christ down through the ages for every age. Look at the history of Israel. The revelation of God to Moses came only in a specific time in history. And even more specifically, it came as the people cried unto God. Jesus himself came at the fullness of time, he being the complete revelation of the Godhead. And in this age, Laodicean, the revelation of God will come in due time. It will not falter, neither will it be premature. Think on this and heed it well, for we are in the end time today. This is where we're at, church. Christ is revealed in his word. He is revealed to you. He's revealed to me. And if you can't see Christ now, you have not received His Word. Because we have access to every revelation that God had in the entire Bible. Read it anywhere. We can preach from anywhere in the book. God is revealed to us, but hid to the world. Thank God for this Bible. I want us to understand what it is that we're living with and what we're carrying under our arm. This ain't just a book of stories. This is the mind of God.
Amen.
Taking 1,600 years to put together.
Right.
And now He's come down here at the end time and revealed the entire thing to us.
Amen.
How blessed these pilgrims are. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You that You revealed Yourself. You hid Yourself in Your Word, and you revealed Yourself in the same manner. This bride knows what it is. We see Your Word, and we hear it, and we recognize Your voice. And Father, You've blessed us in so many ways. We're so grateful and thankful for it. If there's some that haven't quite been able to see Your revealed Christ in the Word, open their eyes today. And let them step out on the Word and move forward on Your promises, knowing that You'll keep Your Word. If we keep ours, You'll keep Yours. And even when we don't keep ours, You keep Yours. But Lord, You're asking us to take that step, move forward. And if we do that, this book that we carry every service, this book that we read at home, will become a living testament to us and become one with our lives. Thank You for everything You've done, how You've blessed us in so many ways. Be with us, Lord, and strengthen us and give us hope in this hopeless world. Give us direction from Your Word. Help us to, Lord, know that we have to be born again. And once we're born again, You'll take this Word and You'll show it unto us. That was Your promise. And You're true to Your promises. Thank You for everything, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. I think in the Only Believe book, Living by Faith. Page 24 in the Only Believe. Do come back tonight. Come expecting. See what God has in store for us. I think it's in the key of C. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, shadow or sunshine. Maybe put it in. That's D. That doesn't sound right. Maybe D or G? I don't know. I care not. Ooh, that's going to be too high. No, D. F. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. I know our Lord ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worries in vain. For I am living by faith. Above, I am trusting, confined in His great love, and from a heart set in His sheltering arms, I'm living by. Our Lord will return. Oh, our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will soon.
I'm trusting, confiding.